Morning. Bless your hearts. Please be seated. What a privilege it is to open up the scriptures for you this morning on this special day as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to look at this verse, 1 Peter 1:3. We have it on the screen here. Also, some of these verses that we'll be looking at are in the handout bulletin, so you'll be able to use that. We're going to get into the scriptures here, so I hope you have your Bibles or on your phone or wherever. I've got a couple here, extra Bibles, that I'd be glad to have you look at as we get into the Word, because we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in a little bit of detail. But here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? I mean, it doesn't say bummed out, you know, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, or down and out, or whatever. It says what? Blessed, happy. Yeah, overly thankful. God is blessed. He's excited. He really is. Why is he so excited? Why is he happy? He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, what kind of mercy does he have? He has a lot of it, whatever it is, okay? He's got a bunch of it. Hath begotten us again, born again of God's Spirit, of incorruptible seed. Wow, God is happy about this. He is so excited that he is able to extend his abundant mercy to us, that we could be born again unto what kind of a hope? A living hope. Living hope. Some people hope for things and it's just well wishing, right? But we have a living hope, a hope that is assured. Can you speak in tongues? Can you operate the Spirit of God in your life? Well, you're born again of God's Spirit and you have a what kind of hope? A living hope. My goodness. Under God is happy. What about you? What about you? Are you happy that you're born again of God's Spirit, that you have a living hope? And how did it all come about? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. An event that just goes beyond any other event that's ever occurred on the face of this earth. Man, oh man, oh man. You know, there's a lot of major events that have occurred in our times and through history. Man has seen all kinds of things happen and occur that have marked history, that has established cultures, that have put together countries and all kinds of things, right? I mean, I could list thousands of things that had major effect on the history of man. The fall of Rome. I don't know if you history buffs don't realize how significant that was, but it was pretty significant. What about Columbus discovering America and a new country forming? Great events have occurred. Martin Luther, the Reformation. These are very significant events that changed how people thought. It changed how people lived. My goodness. You know, one thing I thought about, I know this is a, kind of a crazy list here, but penicillin. You ever think about penicillin? No. I don't either, but this came on my list. You know, they had penicillin. This was in the... It saved millions of lives. Saved millions of lives, especially during the war. World War I and World War II. Talk about significant events. Millions upon millions of people died during... Atomic energy. Internet. Facebook. Not at all. These have so... marked how people think, how they live their lives. Unbelievable. Really is. But how significant really is it? All these pale to the event that began in Genesis 1:1. You know, God started something. And he made man after his own image, right? This is now a real significant event. Because God wanted children. He wanted somebody that he could fellowship with. And so he created man in his own image. His own image is what? Spirit. Spirit. Then he breathed in the breath of life. He took the dust and formed some of you beautiful ladies. My goodness. He did a beautiful job, right? Spirit, soul, and body. That is very significant. I think that goes way beyond all these other little events that I came up with. See, this is what God started. Now, what happened? Man had to screw it up, and the fall of man occurred, and God went about to bring back a relationship he so desired in the beginning. And that's why we have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died for us. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then after Jesus Christ died, what had happened? God raised him from the dead. He raised him. The great victory of victories, the great act of all acts, that's what's right. So let's start thinking, not the history of man, but the history of God and what he started, he is doing now, that we can be born again, that he can be happy and excited because we're his children. Man, oh man, I got to have a drink on this. Excuse me, my mouth's getting a little dry. What'd you put in this? One man, Jesus Christ, of all the millions and billions of people, we got 8 billion people. I got my National Geographic magazine. He said 8 billion people now. My God, I remember when it was 4 or 5 billion. One man changed the course of history for God and his people. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the true history that's unparalleled of anything else that's ever happened is the great act we're celebrating today, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it opened the door so that we could be born again of God's Spirit. So Pentecost could occur, and God once again could have children born with Spirit within, eternal life, a living hope. Fantastic. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to take a look at this chapter. God devoted a section of Scripture here that's addressed to the believers on how important the resurrection is. And it is, as we, I hope, have seen so far, is very important. All right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start right in verse 1. See how God communicates the vitalness of this resurrection. So, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you what? Stand. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. We're born again of God's Spirit. We've been saved. Jesus Christ was the great lifeguard of lifeguards. He saved us from death unto eternal life. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures communicated that he would come and die for all mankind, and that he was seen, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas. Now, who's Cephas? Peter. Another word for Peter. Then of the 12, he was seen of above 500 ones, of whom but some are fallen asleep. My goodness. You know, if you were in a court of law and you had the testimony of 500 people and a bunch of other folks, I think that would the verdict would be very simple, right? and be very sure. And that's what God here is really building, the greatness of what he did through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. All right, he was seen in his resurrected body for 40 days by all these different folks at different times during that period of time. All right, let's see what else. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or adequate to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Paul was a pretty bad guy, right? Back in the day, he was taking Christians to prison. Would you have voted for him? Apostles? No, I wouldn't have. But God did. God chose him. And what a wonderful man of God he was. So, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul had his life, the background of what he did to people. You know, again, he had them murdered. He had them killed. He had them put in jail, right? How do you live with yourself doing that after you find out that that was wrong? That you now are trying to help people get born again of God's Spirit. You're holding forth the words of life, but you still have this history. How do you deal with that? What did Paul say? I am what I am by the grace of God. We all have history, don't we? We all have things that grab us from the past and want us to hold off, right? Want to hold us back from walking out on the greatness of God's word. Don't let that happen. By the grace of God, you are who you are today, born again of God's Spirit, right? Man, oh man, let's live that. Let's don't forget that God's grace trumps any history that you may have that want to hold you back. I guess God wanted me to make a point on that. I wasn't normally going to do this. Amen. Thank you. Somebody got it. Okay. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which me. That grace of God. Wow. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There's people out there saying, hey, no, he didn't rise from the dead. No way. But verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is vain. It's empty. There's nothing to it. It's all smoke and mirrors. What's your life about if he did not get up from the dead? See the point that God's making, how vital, how important this resurrection really, really is. Yea, verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God if he did not get raised from the dead. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. I mean, you think he's making a point? Over and over again, and if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is empty, it's vain, you are yet in your sin. Yay, yay, yay. Hey, that's how critical this resurrection is. We got to really hold on to this. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now, what is it in the Bible when it says fallen asleep? They died. It's a figure of speech to soften the blow of how hard death is. Fallen asleep. Any believer that dies, they fall asleep. And what's their next awakening moment? Their next moment of realization? face to face, Christ coming back, gathering together. Isn't that so neat how God set that up? You know, it's fantastic. When a believer dies, you know, it's tough. It's you want that person you love to be there, but we got to be comforted by the reality that that next awakening moment for that person, face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fantastic. You know, when you go to bed at night and you fall asleep, do you have cognitive? Do you realize that 6, 7, 8 hours went by when you wake up? You fall asleep and you wake up and it's like you just fell asleep almost. You know, there's no time really there. Same thing when you die. There's no time in the grave. Well, I wasn't going to get into that too much either, but I guess we needed to. Well, this is so fantastic, isn't it? This truth and reality is so much bigger than the culture that we are experiencing today. We're so inundated with religion, man's culture, man's way of doing things. Let's put God first, okay? Let's realize who we are in Christ. Let's get excited about being born again Christians. Because that's the true life. That's the living hope. Everything else, smoke and mirrors. Really. Wow. All right, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If he did not rise from the dead, right? Wow. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now he has been raised from the dead. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Wow. Adam blew it, but Jesus Christ opened the door through his resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Wow. That's the last enemy. He's gonna get it. The old devil, the adversary, is going to get it. Now, we could read on here. This is a long chapter. And so as Al said earlier, boy, sure smells good back there. We're going to have a nice pot-blessed dinner and we're going to enjoy our fellowship doing that. So I'm going to give you this for homework, the rest of chapter 15 up to verse 51. I will jump to verse 51 here. Please join me. 15:51. Okay. Hold. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall, how many? All be changed. Changed. Boy, there's that song, I shall be changed. You don't know that song? I know I don't sing it very well. But I've been, that song's been going through my head all morning long. I love it. Yeah, I'm happy where I'm at now. You know, I got a great wife, sweet fellowship with the believers. I mean, get to teach God's word. You can't beat it. But there's just greater things, huh? We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. Wow. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we should be changed. Are you going to be changed? Yes. No doubt about it. Don't let the adversary talk you. You really be there at the gathering together? Is Christ really going to get you up? He's got a lot of people down there. He might miss you, you know. No way. No way. Everybody that's born again of God's Spirit, they have that living hope. That living hope. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on corruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We just read the last enemy to go is death, right? And man, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Wow. Oh, death, where is thy sting? I'm sorry. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, thanks be to God, which giveth us the what? The victory. Through who? Jesus Christ, the one that God raised from the dead. So what a great reality that we have as born-again ones, living the life as a resurrected one. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians. I want to share this verse with you. A couple more verses here. We'll close out. Ephesians 19 and 20. And it says in verse 19 here in Ephesians chapter 1, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power in Christ. When? He raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand. Ours. That resurrected power is ours. We believe. We get to walk in all the who we are in Christ. Where did he put Jesus Christ? The right hand, right? It says in chapter 2 that we're seated in the heavenlies, right? Right hand of God. Who's right next to you? Jesus Christ. Who's next to him? God. Live by where you're seated, not with what the world says you are. You know, the world says a lot of things about us, but live by what God's Word says about you. And God's Word says wonderful things about who we are in Christ. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit he that raised up Christ quicken your mortal bodies by that his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Spirit, we have Holy Spirit within. That's what it's talking about here. Got that Spirit in you, you know. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you are his and he is yours. 6:4, this is on the cover of your booklet, actually. The little handout. You know, what's our action? What are we going to do after hearing this? I hope there's been some things sparked in your heart to do something as a result of what we just saw in God's Word. I mean, we can hear something and then go on and forget it. We are living for our Heavenly Father. This is just a partial here. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should what? Walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. We got to just remember that. We've got a new life. A new life in Christ. Man, oh man, a new life in Christ. But what I did last year or 10 years ago, it's just so bad and I can't get rid of a new life in Christ. That's who you are today. You are not who you were in the past. You are who you are today because of what Jesus Christ did for you. So live in newness of life, not in the oldness of your history. Live in newness of who you are in Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us. That through the ages of history, when you acted, things really happened. Great things happened. And that you would give your Son to pay the ultimate price with his death. And then raise him from the dead, Father. Seat him at your right hand. And then, Father, make available the gift of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost so that we can have a lively hope, that we can believe on him, confess him as Lord in our life, Jesus Christ is Lord in our life, and that you did raise him from the dead. That we can be in your family, that we can look forward because we have a lively hope, and we can live day by day in newness of life. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.